Little things happen, and for just a moment, we can't quite remember what we know we should know in our mind, right? Y'all ever have that happen? Just 3 or 4 weeks ago, here at the church, I invited the ushers to come down to take up the morning tithe and offering. I looked over at one of the ladies in our church that I've known for 25 years, Bryn Smith, and I was about to call on her to ask her to please pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the offering. And I had a brain freeze. I looked at her, she's standing right over here, I looked at her and I could not remember her name to save my life. I've known her for 25 years. And finally, in frustration, I just said, "Sister, would you pray over the offering?" And she did, thank goodness, she did. It wasn't long after that, in fact, Vern and Bryn had were so kind to give me a gift for my birthday, and I mailed a thank you note to them. And on the outside of the card, it said Vern and blank Smith. I just put blank on there. I thought, well, you know, if you mess up, you might as well laugh about it, right? And on the inside of the card, it says, "Dear Vern and blank," you know. So she appreciated that. There was a seminar on aging, and the speaker was entertaining his audience. And he said, "Some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who wasn't my wife." And there was suddenly kind of silence and shock. And then he spoke up and said, "And that woman was my mother." And of course, folks laughed, and it was a good joke. Well, there was a retired fella that was attending this seminar on aging. And he was just starting to have some little bit of memory problems, but he really liked that joke. And he had a bunch of guests coming over to his house that night for dinner, and he wanted to try that joke out on them. And so right in front of his wife and all the guests that were there that night at his house that evening, he said, "I have an announcement to make." He said, "Some of the greatest years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who was not my wife." And suddenly his wife's face goes red with just anger and bewilderment. What is he saying? And the man stood there for 20 seconds because he couldn't remember the punchline. His wife is turning red. She's getting more angry. And finally, in frustration, he just yells out, "And I can't remember who she was." Now, he did, after all the guests had left, he finally remembered the punchline. He told his wife, "Oh, honey, here's what I was going to say. It was my mother." It didn't matter. He still slept on the couch that night. It didn't make any difference. He was too far gone. We sometimes just forget, don't we? A little bit. Three ladies were discussing the difficulties and the problems of getting older. And one of the ladies said, "Sometimes I catch myself with a jar of mayonnaise standing in front of the refrigerator, and I don't know if I'm supposed to put it away or make a sandwich. I just forget." And another second lady, she chimed in and she said, "You know, sometimes I find myself on the landing of the stairs, and I can't remember if I was going up or coming down. I just can't remember it." And finally, the third lady spoke up and she said, "Well, ladies, I sure am glad that I don't have that problem, knock on wood," as she racked her knuckles on the table. And she paused and said, "Did you hear that? I think somebody's at the door. I'll get it." Quick memory loss. Forgetting. Sometimes we just don't remember. We forget. But this morning, we're looking at this subject, forgetting God. And we look at Psalm 106, several verses in Psalm 106. We have them here for you on the PowerPoint. Verse 7. "They did not remember the multitude of your mercies." Verse 13. "They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel." Then verse 21. "They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt." And verse 43. "Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity." In Psalm 106, the writer is looking back at the history of Israel, And he recaps the many times, or remembers the many times, that Israel forgot God. They forgot his mighty works. They forgot God's love, despite all the great help and deliverance and blessings God gave them over and over. In fact, if you'll notice in Deuteronomy in 6 and 12, the Lord's warning them and us today, if we're paying attention, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And in this particular verse, Moses is talking to the Israelites. The Israelites who were in danger, they were in danger of memory loss when it came to forgetting God. God's people at this moment, they were literally standing on the edge of the promised land. They were about to enter a land full of great cities that they didn't build, houses full of possessions that they didn't purchase or fulfill themselves, and vast lush vineyards and orchards planted that they never even planted themselves. As good as the prospect of all this prosperity was, there was still a danger lurking under this great blessing. Moses knew, by the anointing of God and the Holy Spirit, Moses knew and understood that in good times, it's very easy to forget God. The people of Israel, they were in danger of forgetting that it was God who was about to give them this land flowing with milk and honey. They were in danger of forgetting that it was God who had gone before them in every battle. They were in danger of forgetting, in fact, that it was only through God's gracious choice of them as his chosen people that they were enjoying the blessings of the new country and home that God was going to give them. And in fact, when we forget God, we become unthankful. We become proud. We become self-sufficient. We become self-reliant. The kinds of things that are just the opposite of what God wants us to be like in our hearts toward him and our attitude toward him. God, who is the giver of every perfect and good gift. So the story in this example in Psalm 106, the story of the example in Deuteronomy 6 and 12, they're an example of the things that we must remember. We must remember, because the truth is, their story is not at all unlike our own stories as Christians. The story of Israel forgetting. Sometimes we forget, don't we? I'm talking about forgetting the things that God has done for us. His grace, his mercies, his love, his coming through when there's a disaster and being there for us and helping us. God blesses us. We receive the blessing and favor of God. And as time goes on, we forget. Not totally forget, but just until we get into the next problem or mess or difficulty. Then we call for his help again. And once again, he comes and he helps us. You would think that we'd see the light. You'd think that we would change our ways. That we would give God the rightful place in our lives every day, not just when there's a problem. But the sad thing is that most folks don't. We just repeat that same pattern again and again. It's like keeping God in the basement like a janitor. We call on him when it's time to come clean up a mess or fix a problem that we've got. The various scripture texts that we read in Psalm 106 describes this disease of quickly forgetting, stating that they did not remember your mercies, they forgot your works, they forgot God their Savior. So what is it? What causes us to forget so quickly and so easily? And this, I'm just speaking spiritually in the things of God. There are many issues, I think, that contribute to this matter of forgetting God. And I want us to examine what I would say would be three fundamental reasons as Christians that we often leave God out. We just forget him. And the first one is busyness. Does anybody stay real busy? Busyness. Busyness. Busyness, what happens when we're just so busy is that we don't take time to get alone with God. We don't take time to read and study the Word of God. We don't take time to pray. And as an example of the consequences, by the way, of busyness, look at the scripture with me in Luke's gospel in chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, speaking of Jesus, she came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." That's a wonderful example of what busyness and the contrast of Mary and Martha. You know, if we're honest, for many of us, most of the time, we resemble Martha more than we do Mary. We're so busy with stuff, we can't just get alone at the feet of Jesus, so to speak. We're so busy taking care of what needs to be done, while all the time missing the glimpses and the power and purpose of Christ that is all around us. As difficult as it is, and as contrary as it is to our culture, we must, as believers in Christ, we must intentionally make the effort to slow down and model Mary, because as Jesus himself said, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What was better? Being with Christ, focusing on Jesus, listening to him. We must be intentional about making time to rest in Jesus and to rest with Jesus. Let the phone ring. The chores can wait. The stuff on social media, just give it a break. Turn off the television, the radio. I tell you, none of those things are eternal, are they? But Jesus is eternal. Let us make an effort to sit at Christ's feet and to enjoy him rather than miss out like Martha did because she was fussing over the dishes or what she was cooking or whatever she was doing. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, you know this verse. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." I like that. Seek the Lord. Call on him while he's near. Do we do that? Most of the time, we're so hung up on doing stuff. We're so busy, we forget the eternal values. We forget the things that really matter, such as drawing close to God and living every day in God's presence. If we forget, then over time, we look back seeing that we knew what really mattered. We knew what the priority should have been, a life full of faith, but we were just too busy. We forgot the God who had done great things for us. I think one of the saddest things in the world would be to look back at the end of life. We were on our deathbed and we knew life was short for us. I think one of the saddest things would be to look back and realize all the time we spent on things that didn't matter at all. And how precious little time we spent on the things that count for eternity, that count for busyness. Busyness can help us get to that mindset, to that busyness. We leave God out and we forget God. The second thing that can contribute to that is compartmentalization. Now, I don't usually use seven syllable words, but I want you to just pay attention with me for just a minute on this issue of compartmentalization. What many Christians are doing is living a life that's compartmentalized. We just put everything in a little compartment, including our spiritual lives. We have a compartment for living every day, then we have a separate compartment for things that are spiritual, of course, except on Sundays. When Sunday comes, we walk into that spiritual compartment of our lives. We sing hymns, we talk about God, we listen to a sermon, we pray, and then we go home. And afterwards, we leave that wonderful, safe, Christian compartment part of our lives, and we go back again to just living our lives as if God's not any part of it at all. If we're not careful, we'll think, well, it's easy just to sin, and that's okay as long as you show up on Sunday and just profess Christ as your Savior. And folks that do that, they just make sure that occasionally that they visit that Christian compartment portion of their life. They visit that little part of their lives, and they kind of have this idea, well, maybe a scriptural day will keep the devil away. I'm going to tell you, folks, it doesn't work that way. It can never work that way. Christianity is never intended to be compartmentalized, to be put in just a little section of our life. The Christian faith isn't some little compartment or room or space to be kept secret or be hid away or only pulled out on Sundays only. Our faith in Christ, the Christian way, should be the foundation on the house that's being built, our house, our spiritual house of walking with God. It's the foundation of our entire life, who we are, who we should be in Christ Jesus. But in living out the daily events of life, that this is the truth. In living out the daily events of their lives, many folks have no place for God because it's not Sunday, because it's not devotional time. Each day they're just kind of on autopilot, so to speak, relying on their own abilities and knowledge and understanding. And when they do that, when they live their lives like that, they forget the mercies and the goodness of God. They forget all His past care, all His past help. So please hear me this morning. If we forget God's faithfulness and His help, then we stop walking each day in total dependence on Him. That's what God's desire for us, isn't it? But when we forget God's faithfulness, the natural thing that occurs is that we stop walking in total dependence on God. We stop allowing the truth of God and that God is always with us. We stop forgetting that and allowing that to influence our lives and our hearts and our thoughts because we're leaving God in that compartment over here and He's not part of our everyday living. Busyness, compartmentalization, the third thing that'll help us forget God is selfishness. In our scripture text, Psalm 106 and verse 14, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert, speaking of the children of Israel. Lust is an act of the will. The will of man, the lust of the flesh for personal gain leads to a lack of governing or guarding our minds and our hearts with the principles of God's Word. You know, we need that. Every day we need that. We need those principles in the Word of God to help guard our minds and our hearts from all the junk in the world that's all around us. Jesus, speaking in Matthew chapter 23, a chapter that most theologians refer to as the chapter of the Great Denunciation. He's ripping into the religious leaders of the day, the spiritual leaders, the Pharisees. He's ripping into them because of their hypocrisy, because all they cared about was everybody paying attention to them and looking at the fine robes they wore and being recognized in the market square and all the spotlight being on them. That's all they cared about. Well, at the same time, they were taking advantage of widows and their homes and ripping them off. Jesus rips into them and He confronts them and accuses them. And in the middle of all of that, this is what He says. The greatest among you will be your servant. And all who exalt themselves will be humbled. And all who humble themselves will what? Will be exalted. Now take just a minute and think about the truth of this word. The greatest among you will be your servant. I can tell you that as I look back in my life, the greatest people in my life were people who had the servant's heart. And they were people that made me feel like that my life mattered, that they were concerned for me, that they took time to help me, to encourage me, to pray for me, to be with me in a time of need. Once we figure out this deep truth of what Jesus is saying, that the greatest among you will be a servant, once we realize that should be true for us, then our motivations will change. We will want to serve others. We won't be concerned about ourselves. We want to give up what we think should be our way to do what is best for those around us, to serve others. And when we do that, we'll begin to live that out minute by minute, day by day, relationship by relationship, interaction by interaction, because we'll have the heart of a servant, and every situation will be, what more can I do to be a blessing to help this individual in their life at this very minute? I tell you, when we do that, here's what we'll discover. That when we take our selfishness out of the equation, that we'll discover that we no longer have to have this ideal of winning all the time, or being the center of attention, or protecting our comfort, or looking out for ourselves. In fact, life becomes much easier. In the book of James, in chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For when there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind." So disorder, pursuing our own way, it naturally creates an atmosphere where we leave God out, we forget God, we forget His goodness, His blessings, and we forget that He's always been there for us in the time of crisis. So these three things, busyness, compartmentalization, and selfishness, are ultimately some of the biggest reasons why we forget God in our lives. Because when we really think about it, these things are really matters of the heart, aren't they? They really are. What's in our heart influences what we say, how we live out our daily events. There's a scripture in James chapter 6 and verse 45, and you'll notice I have this per the J.B. Phillips translation because he can be very straightforward in his language. A good man produces good things from the good stored up in his heart. And a bad man produces evil things from his own stores of evil. For a man's words and deeds will always express what has been treasured in his heart. In fact, in Matthew 5 and 8, the word says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When our hearts have been purified, then we begin to see God in people and in situations that we never noticed before. And some of you found that to be true. It's true. When our hearts are humbled and simple and trusting on God and pure before God, then we see people and events and situations differently. Because we haven't forgotten God, because we know He's in every situation. We don't forget people and relationships that matter to us. So another question would be, then how do we guard our hearts? How do we purify our hearts? I think, first of all, we've got to make sure that our minds and our hearts are in a controlled environment, an environment that we're in charge of, because what happens when there's a controlled environment, then that controlled environment determines what comes into our mind, what comes into our heart. It controls and influences how we respond to life. And it causes us to remember God's faithfulness and not forget it. So when it comes to people, pastimes and pursuits and stuff that's going on around us, I want to make sure all of us are hearing what I'm saying today. We should not open ourselves up to any people or events or situations that has the potential to take our minds and hearts captive, to make us cold-hearted, indifferent, or cynical, to forget how much God loves us. We must guard against those things, and we guard against those things by being in charge of the environment around us and only taking in those things that are good and positive and uplifting and full of faith and from the Word of God, and those things that we know that God loves that we should love also. There's a scripture in James chapter 4 and 8. It says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts." Again, that word purify. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's another version I like. It's the Amplified version of that verse. It says, come close to God and He'll come close to you. Recognize that you're sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize you've been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interest, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. Disloyal, wavering individuals, divided interest. That's not a heart sold out to God, is it? That's a heart that's allowed the environment to influence and change the things that God wants to put into your heart. There's another example in James 4 and 8 in another translation. Listen to these words. You who are trying to follow God and the world at the same time, make your thinking pure. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Those of you who are trying to follow God and the world at the same time, make your thinking pure. Make it pure. Leave the world out. Get your heart and mind on God. When our hearts have been purified, and they're purified, by the way, as we just live a life that desires to draw close to God, then we'll begin to see God in people and situations we never noticed, and we'll be involved in having a heart and a perspective of ministry to those folks around us. King David, he understood very well the dangers of a spiritual heart disease, of being a quick forgetter of God's blessings and God's help and kindness. He wrote in Psalm 51 and verse 10, he said these words, create in me a what? Clean heart. He knew he needed God's help, didn't he? He knew there had been sin in his life, and his prayers, oh God, let my heart be clean. God, it comes from you. God, create in me a clean heart. And you know, realizing this tendency to forget, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 16, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Oh, is that so true? Listen to that today. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of that. Apart from Him, there is nothing good in our life. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. I set the Lord always before me. That's important, isn't it? Did you hear that? I have set the Lord always, not just on Sundays, not just in my devotional time, not just in this compartment over here. I have set the Lord always before me because He is my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart, there it goes, that's the key. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. I'm not forgetting what God has done for me. I'm praising Him. I'm rejoicing and my heart is glad. So here's the lesson today. Beware. When God is abundantly good to us, we may be in great danger. We're in danger because in good times, it's easy to forget God. And when we forget Him, we lose the intimacy, we lose the closeness that makes with God our lives rich and wonderful. And I have to tell you, it's so easy to get confused with the gifts and the blessings that we forget the source of those gifts and those blessings, the giver, our Heavenly Father. And if we do that, we wind up worshiping all the blessings and not the one who by His amazing grace has blessed our lives. So the benefit of keeping God in mind is that it keeps our hearts grateful, doesn't it? By keeping God in mind and being dependent upon Him, we remain humble. We remain delighted in His goodness. And I'll tell you, delighting in Him beats delighting in all the junk of this world that's all around us. It beats it by a mile, by a long mile. The value of a grateful, thankful heart is emphasized in the very next psalm, Psalm 107. The very next psalm following our scripture text is Psalm 106. Look at it with me as we close today. 107, it says, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and wonderful works of the children of men. Verse 15, oh, that men would, it's a pattern there, and you can see it. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Look at the difference. Psalm 106, all about forgetting, but then Psalm 107, about giving thanks. It's as if God is saying, don't forget. And by the way, one of the better ways to never worry about forgetting is to have a grateful heart, a heart that's full of thanks. Oh, yes, memory lapses will happen to us. We'll forget what we're doing with the jar of mayonnaise or whatever. We'll forget what we're going to do in that room we went into to do something, but now we're there, we can't remember what it is. We'll have those moments. We'll forget those times. But remembering God's goodness, remembering His mercy, His grace, and His love, and what He's done for us, remembering Him, we cannot afford to forget Him, can we? We cannot. Father, help us today. We are a needy people. Father, we cry out to You. We ask You to forgive us of those moments when we're going through such blessings and life is good and we leave You out. It's as if we forget that You're the source of all those good things. Forgive us, Father. Father, let there be a mind and a heart that remains humble and dependent on You. Let us get aside from the busyness. Let us get aside from this concept of putting You in a compartment. God, let us move away from our natural fleshly tendencies to be selfish and think of only ourselves. God, let us remove those barriers so that we don't forget Your goodness, Your love, and Your desire to draw close to us as we desire to draw close to You. Father, forgive us. We have those moments when we draw back and we forget everything You've meant to us. Help us. Forgive us and strengthen us through Your word and by Your Holy Spirit. And all these things we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.